Well, you made a great call. Joining us in the trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics, because our guest is the biggest human being we've ever had on our podcast, videocast. None other than Orlando Brown, recently signed by the Cincinnati Bengals to play the left tackle position from the Kansas City Chiefs, the Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chiefs. Orlando Brown, his signing gives three offensive linemen the Cincinnati Bengals that have Super Bowl rings. Left tackle, center, right guard. Center has two. Unbelievable. Orlando Brown talks about his football life, his life in general. He is very articulate, very intelligent, very engaging. You're going to like what Orlando Brown has to say, not only about football, how he gets ready for the season, what his goals are, but how he handles his life as well. This is a special young man. You're going to enjoy what he has to say. Thanks for joining us in the trenches with Dave Lappin, brought to you by First Star Logistics. And we have the biggest physical presence we've ever had on First Star Logistics in the trenches with Dave Lappin. None other than Orlando Brown Jr. at 6'8" with 35-inch arms, long, strong, big physical man. Orlando, thank you for joining us and welcome to Cincinnati to play with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me, man. I'm super excited.
Man, I'll tell you that the whole fan base and it's international now for the Cincinnati Bengals is excited about having Orlando Brown join the Cincinnati Bengals. Take us through how it happened. Take us through the process as such that led to your signing with the Bengals.
Yeah. You know, obviously everything in Kansas City kind of transpired how it did. And, you know, for me, man, I've wanted to play for a winning organization. I wanted to play with a winning quarterback, obviously a great coaching staff. And, man, I just felt like Cincinnati presented me, my family, with the best opportunity for that. And, man, God willing, everything was able to work out. And, man, I'm a Cincinnati Bengal.
You know, it's amazing. You just won Super Bowl 57. Yeah. Nick Scott, who they just signed from the Rams, won Super Bowl 56. Yep. Today, just signed Sidney Jones IV. He was a winning player on Super Bowl 52. I mean, we're talking about guys that the Bengals are targeting, guys that are targeting the Bengals that know what it takes to win, know what it's supposed to look like, coming from winning organizations, winning college programs, Penn State, Oklahoma, University of Washington. I mean, all of that is a big factor in the culture, isn't it, Orlando?
Yeah, definitely, man. I think that's one thing Cincinnati has done a really good job of, just from the outside looking in, is building those type of rosters and getting those type of people in the building. As somebody that just won a championship, I believe that culture is the most important part of building that foundation. And the culture that Coach Taylor, Mr. Brown, Duke Tobin was able to build, I mean, it's special what they've been able to create. And the pieces and people that they've brought in say that, and also who they have here already, I think kind of speaks to that.
You've made four straight Pro Bowls, two at right tackle, two at left tackle. You're going to be playing left tackle here with the Cincinnati Bengals, but showing that you're unbelievably versatile and athletic and playing equally well at both sides of the line of scrimmage. There's only one center, Kelsey, that made four straight Pro Bowls, two guards, Betonio from Cleveland, and Nelson with the Colts, Quentin Nelson. That's it. And you're the only offensive tackle that has made four straight Pro Bowls, as well as winning the Super Bowl. What does that mean to you? Obviously, it's a testament to your not only your excellence, but the consistency of your excellence.
Yeah, no, it means a lot to me. You know, something I set out to be in this game is a first ballot Hall of Famer. And, man, I haven't had the opportunity to win any All-Pros yet, but I plan on making my first one this year. It means a lot to me, you know, to be able to be a four-time Pro Bowler, to be a Super Bowl champ. You know, I love the history of the game, and I love my favorite part about the game is earning, you know, your respect from your peers, from coaches, from the media. And, you know, you develop that respect through consistency. And I've been fortunate enough, man, to be able – every single year to be able to make these Pro Bowls outside of my rookie year, which was the 1 year I wasn't a full-time starter. And, man, I mean, I work like it. And, you know, for me, ultimately, man, I want to make, you know, 9+ Pro Bowls. I want to be a first team all pro 5+ times in my career. And those are goals and things that I set for myself and things that I'm shooting for. But it means a lot to me to be able to, you know, hear those accolades next to my name.
Your dad means a lot to you, obviously. Great Orlando Zeus Brown, 13-year National Football League career, and nobody messed with Zeus. I mean, talk about a powerful presence, man, imposed his will on people. I mean, so you basically grew up around the game of football.
Yes, I did.
What did your dad mean to you in your early stages of development in the game?
Yeah, he meant so much to me. You know, he still means so much to me, man. Just some of the conversations that we would have when I was 15, 14 years old still stick with me to this day. And it's been a big part of the reason I've been able to have success, especially on this level, understanding business, understanding the position, systems, even defensive systems. And something he always preached to me was, you know, my dad was very simple in his approach, you could say. You know, he wasn't a guy that wanted to know formations or personnels. He wasn't a guy that necessarily was overly committed to learning the system. He just wanted to know his job. And he was also a guy that switched, that played defense his whole life and didn't play offensive tackle till his last year of college and 13 years in the NFL. So later in his career, he kind of understood, you know, what he was missing out on. And obviously, in my opinion, he was a lot more fundamentally sound and a better player at the end of his career than he was in the beginning. But he was always a force, but a lot better fundamentally at the end. And something he always preached to me was really understanding the big picture. And going into college, dealing with Coach Bill Beatenbow at Oklahoma, he was really big on harping us about formations, harping about schemes offensively, and really understanding what the defense was doing. And that kind of created, helped build that foundation that my dad had already started for me. And going into the NFL, learning formations under Joe De Los Angeles in Baltimore, learning play calls under, you know, Greg Roman and how all of those different things come about. And then I go to Kansas City with the great Andy Reid and Andy Heck, and I'm able to learn so much more about defenses and defensive coverages and expectation and understanding of how people align the formations and 15s back there. So it's even more confusing on the other side of the ball. And man, I've been so fortunate to be around all of these great coaches and all of these things. But the foundation starts from my dad as a young child.
Yeah, because when you look at it, showing your versatility, being able to play on either side of the end of the line of scrimmage, but also when you were with Baltimore, I mean, that was a unique running game that you were part of, and you dominated the line of scrimmage in that aspect of the game, running the football. And then you go to Kansas City where, I mean, you're going to run it 30, 35 times a game in Baltimore, or you're going to throw it 40, 45 times a game in Kansas City. So you go from run-centric to pass-centric, and you excel in both. I mean, you share your ability to be a dominant guy in the running game and a dominant guy in pass protection in the passing game as well. That was, I mean, man, to be able to do both as well as you do, that's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah. No, man, it's really difficult too. Obviously, man, you go from a system where, man, it's more so catered to the biggest guy in the NFL, you know, being in Baltimore. You know, it's a lot of down blocking. It's a lot of double teams. It's a lot of getting to the second level, pinning linebackers so Lamar can keep the reads. And, you know, then you go to Kansas City and it's a ton of passing. And it's a lot of true drop back pass where, you know, you're in a true one-on-one pass set for 40 times, 35 times a game minimally. And that was definitely something I was a little bit unfamiliar with coming from Oklahoma. We had a lot of success, but it's not the NFL. You know what I mean? I'm not having to block all of these elite talents week to week, you could say. Right. But yeah, man. I mean, I think I've found a lot of peace in that though. I found a lot of peace in what's been asked to me as a player as far as blocking one-on-one at pass pro. I love that, man. I, you know, there's no more other way to earn respect from one of your peers than saying I lined up against this guy for 45 times one-on-one and he didn't beat me once. You know, I find a lot of peace in that.
When you were at Oklahoma, You mentioned that you had great success, and you did as a team and individually as well. You were the Big 12 Offensive Lineman of the Year. In 2017, you were not only an All-American, you were unanimous All-American. I mean, that is a rare accomplishment as well. You've got some skins on the wall, my man. You're highly
decorated. Yeah, but I like I said, I've been so fortunate, man, and I use the word spoiled, man. I'm so spoiled when it comes to football. Obviously, with my dad playing 13 years, my quarterback was a Heisman finalist and a Heisman winner every single year he started. I come in with Lamar and Joe Flacco. Lamar wins the MVP his second year. Where I've been in the playoffs every year I've been in the NFL. Wow. I mean, I'm so spoiled, man. I'm so spoiled.
That's nothing but awesome. There's no question about it. So tell us a little bit about a teammate of yours at Oklahoma that has signed with the Cincinnati Bengals as well. Another big, powerful man, Cody Ford, like 6'4", 330 pounds. He's got 34-inch arms as well. I mean, he's long and strong. Tell us a little bit about your teammate with the Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah, I mean, man, Cody is really special. And I remember him coming into college as an 18-year-old guy. I mean, him and Creed Humphrey, man, are some of the few guys I've seen come in and be put with the big guys, big dogs right away as true freshmen in the workout groups. And, man, we have a really big culture at OU, obviously, as an offensive line. And that's very rare. You know what I mean? Guys like me, guys like Trent Williams, like we come in and we start with the freshman group and then you transition in. You know what I mean? Like, and Cody is one of those guys, him and Creed Humphrey, man. They came in day one working with the big dogs. And that's not very common. That's really, 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 really hard to do, especially at that age. And, man, Cody, that's the type of worker, that's the type of mindset, the type of toughness you're getting is a guy that's been battle tested. You know what I mean? I know his first or last few years haven't necessarily gone as planned for him, but you're getting a guy coming in with a really big chip on his shoulder. And, man, he's super physical. He loves the physicality of the game. And guys like him, man, they can be enforcers for a group like this.
You know, it's real interesting. You started naming other offensive linemen like Trent Williams. It's Oklahoma, and I've had the privilege of doing Oklahoma football for Fox when I was broadcasting college football. And, man, Coach Bob Stoops had that incredible run in that era. And, you know, it's like, okay, well, Penn State is known as linebacker university. I mean, they've had so many great linebackers come out of that school. You know, another place may be running back you. Another place may be quarterback driven. Oklahoma's had everything. Oklahoma's had great offensive linemen, great defensive linemen, great linebackers. I mean, it's like it's not just known for like one position group. Oklahoma has a bunch of different guys at all position groups that have played at a real high level, not only at Oklahoma, but at the next level.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just a testament to the culture there as well, you know, and it kind of comes back to that, you know, especially with Coach Stoops, obviously with Coach Venables now. Yeah, man, just the culture that's been created at OU, man, similar to what I was speaking about in the NFL winter, having those championship organizations so important. And, man, built through Jerry Schmidt and the strength staff, and just kind of understood the expectation and standard coming into Oklahoma that, you know, you see all of these dudes that's come through there. You see the Stocker McDougals, Jamal Brown, Wes Sims, Davin Joseph, Trent Williams, Lane Johnson, Donald Stevenson, Daryl Williams, Tyrus Thompson. You see that, and these guys come around, and you feel the culture as an 18-year-old kid, especially earning a left tackle job as a freshman, and you kind of understand, you know, hey, you've got next. And, man, that's something that, you know, Coach Stoops had created when I was there through Jerry Schmidt, and it's still standing.
Jerry Schmidt, man, that dude, he was something. Boy, that was as good a strength and conditioning coach as there is, that's for sure. So no doubt. Cody has played both guards. He's played right guard, left guard, and right tackle. Shows some versatility there. Do you think he'll be in that derby at the right tackle position, or is that, I guess, to be determined?
I'm really not sure. I do know that he's capable of doing it, and I'm guessing they'll probably give him an opportunity there to earn that job, depending on, you know, what happens with everything. But I know that he's more than capable.
Yeah, that's an amazing scenario coming up. It's going to be very interesting. I mean, in the last two free agency classes, the Bengals have signed five offensive linemen, And then, you know, drafted Cordell Volson, who'll be playing right next to you at that left guard position, a young player. Do you look forward to being a factor in the development and in growth of Cordell Volson? Pretty good player.
Oh, real good player. I've had the opportunity to watch a lot of his film and studying him, learning how he is, and learning you know, his deficiencies and efficiencies. I look forward to getting played next to him. He's got to be the biggest guard I'll probably play next to in my career, as far as height and weight. But man, I think he has an amazing ability to bend. He does a really good job, especially within the system, using his help. And there's areas that he's got to grow that he will, just with time and familiarity. But man, I look forward to getting around him, being able to see how he think, feeling what he's feeling. And one of the most important parts of offensive line success, especially between the left guard and left tackle, right guard, right tackle, is that camaraderie and seeing what I'm seeing without having to communicate it, feeling what I'm feeling without having to communicate it. And you got to communicate a lot to get to that point of feeling and seeing. So, man, I look forward to being able to get to work with him.
Man, I had the privilege of playing next to Anthony Munoz at left guard for a while in Super Bowl 16. And you're exactly right, Orlando. I mean, it's like you get to the point where all it is a look and a nod, you know, and everybody's on the same page. You know, it's not, you know, it doesn't have to be a whole lot. Just, are you seeing what I'm saying? Yeah, I see it.
Everything's good. I love that.
There's no two ways about that. So, I mean, you've had exposure to a lot of different offensive line coaches, and coming to Cincinnati, Frank Pollock, who I think is amongst the best the National Football League has to offer. How has it been in terms of, okay, you were taught one set of techniques at Oklahoma, and then you go to the pros and you're taught another set of techniques at Baltimore, and maybe another set of techniques at Kansas City, and then maybe another one potentially with the Bengals? Or is there some continuity and consistency of techniques? And is it a deal, or is it a deal? If I'm an offensive line coach, coaching Orlando Brown, I'm like, dude, I'm good with what, you know, what do you like? What techniques do you like to implement? And maybe I kind of modify some things that I'm doing a little bit. Is there kind of a give and take in that regard?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, the joke around the NFL always is you got to overcome coaching to be a great player. And, you know, man, that's always, you know what I mean, the saying that you hear from the vets and all these different things. But I've been, and as I go back to this, man, I've been so lucky and fortunate and blessed, man, to have the quality of O-line coaches I've had. And for me, going into each of these situations, Oklahoma, Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati, my style of play is very sustainable. My fundamentals may be different or not as fast or quick, but I'm very smooth in what I do. Each of these coaches have allowed me, within my game, within their coaching styles, within their what they've asked of me, or their techniques, to somewhat be comfortable and modify it. And that's allowed me to have a lot of success. And sitting down with Coach Pollock, he's somebody that's going to give you the freedom and the tools to go out and win. And something that I feel like he does an amazing job of coaching and preaching is just go win. It doesn't matter about necessarily hand placement and it needs to be in here or your thumb's got to be like, it's like, hey, get your hands on the guy and let's get him on the ground and finish this play. And that's where I feel like, man, with Coach Pollock, that I'm super excited to get to work with him is the ability to learn those tools, because more often than not, those are things that I've added to my game, developed just with my lack of athletic ability versus the type of guy I'm going against. And these are things that he's coaching. And man, I look most forward to being able to get in the room with him, man. And I'm a guy that just, I love to be coached. You know what I mean? I love to learn these new techniques and see what my O-line coach is seeing. You know what I mean? Feel what he's feeling. Because a lot of times, you know, these coaches know what they're doing. And, you know, there's a reason that they're here. There's a reason that Coach Pollock has coached Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, you know what I mean, Travis Frederick, all of these guys. And I try to be a sponge because, I mean, granted, those men are amazing athletes and, you know, they got here on a lot of, you know, God-given ability as well. But I'm sure he had some part to do with their success. So, man, I'm very humble and I love being coached. And, you know, man, I guess I'll just kind of leave it at that, go on about that forever.
You know, you hear the term functional football speed. I think another term is functional football abilities, you know, and to me, you have extreme functional football abilities, whereas your balance, your length, your strength, all these kind of things, it's like, whoo, dude. Two words, when I watch you play, two words, fluid. You are fluid, or big body man. You got a lot of fluidity, and you use the word finish, man. You don't just, you know, you don't just block. You want to finish them, man. You want to put them on the ground. You want to obliterate them. I mean, nobody's dislodging you. Nobody's moving you around. Nobody's dislodging you. That's for sure. And you finish people. Is that a big part of your game?
Yeah, definitely, man. I think it's something that it's like, you know, we've kind of gotten away from it now in football at the offensive line position, the mindset and mentality. It's something that, you know, is very important to my game and been a part of my game since I was young. And so often you see offensive linemen block a guy, quarterback still has the ball, and, you know, they lose their guy late and he makes a play on the quarterback. And that's how you keep the hits down. That's how you keep the sacks down. And, you know, that guy gets paid on the other side of the line of scrimmage as well. But, man, finishing is straining is so important. I was just talking to Coach Pollock about this, man. We are professional strainers. That's what the offensive line position is.
Right.
And if you want to be a great offensive line, you've got to be able to strain to finish. In the run game, in the pass game, no matter what, trying to stay between your guy and the ball. You know what I mean? I try to frustrate guys through that. You know what I mean? Whether I'm dumping you on your back or ripping my arm through to make sure you're not able to get to the play.
Right, right. No question. So now the Cincinnati Bengals, through free agency the last 2 years, three of the five starters, projected starters, all have Super Bowl wins. Not just Super Bowl appearances, Super Bowl victories. You just won the past one, Super Bowl 57. Karras has two Super Bowl rings when he played with the New England Patriots. Kappa has a Super Bowl ring playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, there are offensive lines, obviously, that have multiple linemen that have won Super Bowls because, you know, like Kansas City just played in a Super Bowl. I mean, when you win a Super Bowl, you're going to have linemen come back. But to have guys, three different guys, three of the five guys from different teams that have won Super Bowls and know what it takes to get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl, I think that's a big dynamic to have in an offensive line room. I really do.
Yeah, I do too, because when you look at the game, once you kind of get into the playoffs, it's a different level of football. And, you know, you've been there before. It's a different speed. You know what I mean? And then the AFC Championship is a different speed, and the Super Bowl is a different speed. And when you have guys that have played in those big games and those big moments already, it's not as fast to them as it was to others. And that comfortability is going to give guys like Cardale comfortability. You know what I mean? Whoever the right tackle is, it's going to give them comfortability in those big games and situations to be able to, settle in, be able to play their game.
So talk a little bit about preparing for Lou Anarumo's defense. The Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals have played in some high-profile games here, you know, the last couple of years, AFC Championship games, great regular season games down the stretch. Preparing for and executing against Lou Anarumo's defense, how appreciative of you of what they do on that side of the football?
Man, I'm so happy to be over here, man. It's a stress having to prepare for him with the different blitzes, the different alignments, the different coverages. It's from an offensive perspective, it's somewhat complicated. You know what I mean? You kind of you got an idea what they're going to be in, but they may show four and it be two. They may show two and it's six. You know, it's very complicated from an offensive line perspective to kind of be able to get keys on leverages and all those different things, man. And I mean, I'm happy to be on this side, but he's got it figured out, and he understands his personnel, his scheme, how he's going to call it. And I mean, like I said, this coaching staff is one of the best in the world.
So, obviously, a big factor in your decision to come to the Cincinnati Bengals is a guy that throws the football, that leads the football team, wears number nine, Joe Burrow. You guys have already met, I guess, in New York. You both were doing appearances. You were, I think, with ESPN, and he had the Today Show or something like that, I think. And you guys hooked up, had lunch, some burgers at the hotel, I think I saw, where you guys spent a couple hours together. talking football with Joey B and protecting, pass protecting Joe Burrow's blind side. That's some great stuff, isn't it? Hey, Dave Lapham here to tell you about one of Cincinnati's fastest growing companies, First Star Logistics. They're currently drafting freight brokers to join their sales team. Apply at firststarlogistics.com. First Star Logistics, opportunity
knocking. It is, man. It is. Talking to him, it was, that was my first time ever meeting him. And, I've been on the other side seeing him. And, I'm a fan of greatness, man. I respect guys that respect the game. And being on the other side, as somebody that, watches him, he's got a blue chip style of play and a blue chip approach to the game and an old school approach, you could say. And that's something that I really respect and appreciate, man. And sitting down, talking to him right away, I learned, the type of guy he is and the background he comes from. And, I think his work ethic speaks to his success. He's a guy that's really committed to the game, and he's very committed to the Cincinnati Bengals, the organization, the city. He's completely bought in. And when you have a quarterback like that, of that talent, of that consistency, of that stature, that gravitates other grown men, and that brings and raises the level of play of other grown men, because it gives guys confidence in knowing that, hey, although I'm not perfect, although I may make a mistake, and not saying that nine is perfect, it allows you to elevate your play. And, it shows up on Sundays, man, when you're playing against the Cincinnati Bengals all the time.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when you guys were in that hotel room for a couple hours breaking down football, man. That had to be You guys were probably way in the weeds, weren't you? You were way down.
Yeah.
You were breaking it down big time, I bet.
Big time, man. Big time. We were breaking it down big time. We talked a lot about a lot of different things. Man, for me, I just really wanted to kind of know scheme and cadence and – what he likes and as a quarterback, where he doesn't like pressure, what he likes to feel, and, all of those different things, because, I've been fortunate enough to be around a lot of these great quarterbacks. And, Joe's a great quarterback as well. He's got a keen sense of, his strengths and weaknesses, and that's most important. And as an offensive lineman, if I know that, okay, you don't like pressure here, or you don't like to feel this here, it makes my job a lot easier. Because I know that, hey, I may be able to lose this way sometimes. I may be able to put myself in position like this to help you out and give you that comfortability.
You are a very articulate, extremely well-spoken, extremely intelligent. What did you study at Oklahoma? What was your major?
Yeah, it's funny you said that. It was simple, human relations.
Is that right? Yes, sir. You can use that a lot of ways, man.
No doubt.
That's a very versatile major, though.
Yes, it is.
I mean – Who was influential, instrumental in you making sure that you took care of academics as well as athletics? Because you obviously took care of academics as well.
Yeah, my mom. My mom was really big on that, man. And my mom has a broadcast and journalism degree, so she was really big on that. And, man, she always, as a kid, whether I'm reading Hooked on Phonics flashcards or what, she'd have me up in front of the family speaking. So I give all the credit to her in that area.
Wow. So she was in the broadcast world, huh? Or she still is?
She's not. She went to school for it, did some stuff in radio in Cleveland. She nothing big time or anything like that. Obviously my dad having his job and they having three boys, but that was something that she pursued a little bit.
Wow. So your dad was playing for the Browns and she was on radio up there in Cleveland. That's a heck of a situation there, man.
No doubt.
That's amazing. how big a family come from? A big family? What? Give me an idea.
I'm the oldest of five. Both my parents had me and my two brothers, all three of us. My parents were married together and all of that for some years. They ended up getting divorced. But after that, my dad had two daughters. So I've got two sisters. They're 9 and 10 years younger than me. They live in Baltimore. My other brother, I got a brother that's a year younger than me. He lives in Atlanta right now, working in Atlanta. And my youngest brother lives in California. He's playing football right now at Laney College.
So you're young child, son, right? You have a young son?
Yes, I'm a two-year-old.
Two-year-old.
Yeah.
Does he show any signs? I mean, does he get pretty good balance? Can you, can he get some anchor ability
going? Yeah, man. Right now, man, he's a natural waistbender. So he's a pretty big guy. We gotta start working on those hips.
Get those hips and knees bended a little bit. Huh? I like
it. No doubt.
that's great. So what are you, where do you like live in the off season? Do you guys anchor in a spot in the off season, and because you might be in different places during your NFL career?
Yeah. So for me, my first 4 years, I spent in Oklahoma training in the off season. Okay. I bought a house there fresh out of my rookie year. I trained there my first 3 or 4 years in the off season. Last year was my first time going to Miami, down to Pete Bomarito's. And man, I absolutely love it. I'm not a big fan of Florida. I prefer cold weather. Yeah. I would much rather be in Colorado somewhere. But I love playing tennis and I love preparing for the season. So Miami is the best place for me, man, at Pete Bomarito. So I spend a lot of time, pretty much most of my off seasons, training down there.
Tennis. That's interesting. Tennis. You know, I had a lineman in high school that was number one singles in the tennis team. And oh, and wow. he caught a lot of slack. He caught a lot of heat, yeah. You know, yeah. Oh, tennis. What are you playing tennis for? That dude had the sweetest feet, man. I mean, his footwork, tennis helped his footwork big time. Do you find that to be the case?
Absolutely, man. I play tennis twice a week and I swim twice a week as well. Huh. Those are two big things for me in the off season that I kind of implement into my conditioning, with the swimming being a main part of conditioning. Tennis is more so like a second part of it. You know what I mean? Just something to kind of keep me active. But I have a tennis coach down there that I've been working with for the last year. And believe it or not, man, so many of the drills are very similar to offensive line footwork. And, you know, you're able to implement that base, the low hips, because you got to target the ball. You got to get your hips in position with the ball. And it all kind of goes hand in hand with the offensive line position, allowing you to kind of see and feel with touch and urgency of, okay, the ball is going to bounce here. I got to get my feet and hips in position, eyes, hands, hips, all swinging everything in one motion and then get back to a spot. And so I feel like it's allowed me to kind of condition my mind for training camp and those kind of heat of the moment situations.
I'll tell you, that's another thing watching you. Your hands and feet are connected, man. I mean, it yeah. is, you are connected athletically. And other body parts as well are super connected, because your hands and feet can't be connected if everything else isn't. You definitely have that. One thing that during the course of my career and even past here, every time I go to a pool, the young kids want me to cannonball. They ask me to cannonball.
No cannonballs. No cannonballs for me, man.
That's what I'm like, same way. I'm like, yeah, I'd probably end up getting hurt. Hit the bottom of that pool too hard or something. You know, it's like no cannonballs here either. But, man, I used to get continual requests in that regard, man. That's so you're very interesting in that you put a lot of thought into everything, don't you? I mean, everything that you do with respect to football and everything in your life, you're a thinking man, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, big time, big time. I just, like I said, I love the game, man, and it's kind of all I know, you could say, growing up around it. And I just, you know, you set goals in life for things, and, you know, you set goals as a father, you know, as a husband, boyfriend, and, you know, a son, a friend, and, you know, man, for me in football, I've been able to attain so many of the goals that I've set already, dating back to high school. Just what I want to be as a pro is so important to me. And man, I feed off of that, and I kind of live like that, and I live through that, man. And, you know, I've learned, you know, you get in what you put out, and that's something my mom always talked to me about, you know, reaping what you sow. And, I've put a lot of time into the sport, and I continue to put a lot more time in, and great things keep happening.
You know, back to the culture for a second with the Bengals. They've done a tremendous job in free agency in the draft, getting guys from major programs that enjoyed success, and guys were captains, leaders on those teams. And in the NFL, veteran players, captains, leaders on their respective teams. You can never have enough good leaders on a football team. There's nothing wrong with having all five of your offensive linemen, or even more, you know, having a leadership position on the football team. And I think that's been the case with some successful teams, not just Cincinnati Bengals, but other teams across the history of the National Football League. And there are this locker room is so strong in that regard, man. It's put together as some really, really good people, not just good football players, but on and off the field, really good people.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And you spoke on it. I mean, I think it's one of the more important parts of being a successful organization, having a successful team, is having that mantra of an offensive line. And to win games, to win Super Bowls, you have to have that culture. You know, everyone kind of has to understand who the big dogs are. And you got to play like it. You got to act like it. You got to carry yourself like it. You got to lead like it. And, man, that's something that I really look forward to being able to be a part of here in Cincy.
Well, let me get you out of here on this, because I could talk to you all day. And
me too.
probably have come close here already.
Yeah.
I know I've abused your time, and I appreciate you.
Oh, it's all good, man. I appreciate you.
being as kind as you've been. So when are you going to come to Cincinnati? Are you going to come right before? Are you looking for a place now, or have you and your wife found a place where you might consider you in that process right now? What's going on before training camp starts here?
Yeah, man, we just found a place, man. It's pending right now. Cool. So we probably close here hopefully the next 2 months or however it works, 45 days. But, man, I mean, I've got my place. I'm not far from downtown, man, but I'll be out there for OTAs. So, man, I look forward to getting in the city. I plan on having the O-line get together that first week, getting to know the guys, man, off the field a little bit. So, I'm super excited.
Well, I'll tell you that the franchise is off the charts excited about adding you to the organization. There's no question about it, and everybody can see why. I'm telling you, you're a special man. Appreciate your time, and can't thank you enough.
Hey, I can't thank you, man. Appreciate you. Thanks so much for having me on.
Have the best day you ever had.
Yes, sir. You too.
Dave Lapham here, and every day I am grateful for my experience to have played professional football. As a player, I realize self-motivation, leadership, and appreciating your teammates are key. At First Star Logistics, you can use those same attributes to create the life you want for you and your family. Build your future by working hard like I did. You'll see results both on and off the field. Call First Star Logistics today and be part of our winning team.